an individual who has known me probably longer than I've been around, and is a very special man to me, I know. And I know he's a very special man to the Lord, too, because he's a good servant. So I'd ask that you would endeavor to stay awake. I know it's hot, just 8, but I'm sure that the Lord has a message for us this afternoon. I give you now, Brother Hugh.
Thank you, Andrew. I brought in a bucket. A bucket of water. I was going to tell everybody if I caught somebody nodding, I was going to throw water on them. But you know, everybody wanted it, so I brought it all in for nothing, it seemed like, because everybody was ready to have me throw some water on them. So I guess that won't be any good, so I'll just let that one go. I told Bob that there's something that I say this afternoon that none of you like. Why, take it up with Bob. He's supposed to take charge of things there for me. When I got up early this morning, I say early, it really wasn't early, but I got up earlier than I thought I was going to get up. And I was mulling a few things over in my mind. I was sitting in the front room there at Marvin's, and I had a scripture written on a piece of paper. Kenneth come over, and he looked down that piece of paper, you know, and he looked at that, and he says, "Is that your notes?" And I said, "Well, such as they are, that's it. I just had one scripture written there." He said, "Boy, I'm glad of that." He said, "Man, so when they get long, I get hungry." So there's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to get so long that Kenneth gets hungry, because I don't want to take any chance of starving him to death or anybody else. But I do have a few things that I feel that I must bring out to you today. And there are things that I know that as I speak to you, that they're not new to you. Because each of us, as we go along, I'm aware of the fact that each of us, as we get into those things, why, you're going to say, "Well, I've read that lots of times, and yes, I've heard that, and Brother so-and-so, he preached on that." And so there's not a whole lot that I'm going to bring to you that's new. What I want to do is not bring to you something that's new, but I want to renew your thoughts like you renew a covenant with the Lord. I want to renew in your heart and your mind things that's required of us as brothers and sisters in the gospel bond of Christ, or one who is endeavoring to follow after Christ. And you know, it's an odd thing. You know, every now and then when we sit down at the table, we get in a long-winded discussion. I have a daughter that so oftentimes tells Louisa, and I said, "You don't listen. Didn't you hear what I said?" And you know, it's a funny thing about that. You know, there's a bunch of us. Each person that I see here today that's at the age of where they can hold a conversation, when they have something to say, they want people to stop and listen. When you've got something to say, you want somebody to listen, don't you? And you want somebody to listen and take stock in it. And you want to be able to get their attention. You don't want to try to hold a conversation with somebody and have them thinking about everything else and have their mind in 100 other places. But when you say something to them, you'd like to have them stop and to ponder on what you're telling them. And to show the courtesy to them that, well, okay, they're listening to your words. And you know, as equally as you and I like to have that chance to visit one with another and to speak to someone and have them give it a little understanding and to give you a little time to talk. There was a parent one time, and we call him a Heavenly Father. And he too desired that when he would speak, that we would give him our attention. He too desired that as he would talk to us, that we would stop all other conversation and listen to what he had to say. Because so much differently than our conversations sometimes that are light, maybe not something bad, that are light and jokingly and enjoying one another's conversation and being able to be with one another, But yet we find as we get into the scriptures that when God spoke, He was serious. And that each time that He spoke unto the children of men, He talked to them for a reason. It wasn't just something off the top of His head just to be hearing Himself speak, but He delivered and He talked to the children of men those things that was pertinent to the welfare of their souls. Those things that saved their life. Now I want you to think about that, because I don't know of a drowning individual. I don't know of a one that has cancer. I don't know of one that has a terminal disease that doesn't want their life saved. And I want to bring to your attention today that the carnal mind of man has been a cancer to life over the generations of time. That the carnal man has always thought, unless he has been moved by a higher power, even God the Father, his thoughts has not been the ways of God. His thoughts have been the ways of the world. The desires of his heart had been of the ways of the world. And it's only when he stops and listens to the conversation of God the Father to the children of men that they begin to take stock of their life. That they begin to look at their life and say, hey, there's got to be a change here. You know, Benny said the other day, he said that, you know, he says, it's hard, he says, to get people to repent. And you know, I'd like to go one step further. It's hard to get people to realize and come to the realization of the need of repentance. Because so oftentimes, people in their stiff-neckedness and in their pride and with the hardness of the heart and not listening to the voice of God and shutting out His conversation to their ears, so oftentimes they think, hey man, I'm fine. Boy, I'm doing good. I don't have any need to repent. It's hard. It's hard for the voice of God to whisper to the hearts of the children of men, to bring them to that knowledge and to that humble, submissive position to realize that there is a need of repentance and to approach His holy throne and to ask for forgiveness and to prepare themselves to listen to His conversation unto the children of men. And you know, my brother was talking about that conversation. My brother was talking about that conversation, and he held that conversation up in his hand. It's the same thing that Ezekiel saw when he says it, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, they shall be one in my hand. And it shall be before their eyes. Can you see that? You bet. It shall be before their eyes. I am holding in my hand the conversation of God to the children of men. I'm holding in my hand the counsel that He has caused to be written by holy men of old, not by their will, but as holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. That He might whisper to the ears of the children of men to verify in their hearts and their minds the way wherein they must walk, and to give them the vision that their eyes can be singled to the glory of God. And the only way that an eye all through the generations of time has been singled to the glory of God has been through listening to the conversation and the holy voice of God as He has caused it to be written for the children of men to listen and to study and to seek and to ask through the Spirit of understanding. And I might take note that the spirit of understanding has never been wisdom of man. But the spirit of understanding has been the directing power of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, who gives edification unto those who would properly seek Him, even the Spirit of truth, that should bring all things under our remembrance whatsoever He has taught unto the children of men. That Spirit and that power, that very Spirit and power and conversation, believe it or not, that most of the nations of the earth and peoples today have shut their ears to. They have shut their ears to the gospel of Christ. They have shut their ears to the word of the Lord. And they have brought forth a God that does change and varies and wanders wherever so that man desires to go. They teach a changing God. They no longer have a rock to stand upon. They have a sandy foundation that can be moved by every wind and doctrine and every precept that comes before the children of men by the power of the adversary and of the will of the carnal mind. You know, in the scriptures, as you try to talk to people, it's an odd thing that people are funny. Because, you know, people have a habit of turning you off. Especially if they don't want to hear what you have to say. And especially if it's against what they believe. Or what they want to believe. Or if it's telling them that it's going to tie their life down a little bit. And there's going to have to be some changes. They have a habit of just turning that off. Just like they reach over and take a radio and turn the radio off. Because they're not going to listen. How many times have you tried to talk to somebody about the gospel of Christ and you see them just pulling the curtain? And you see them just shutting you out because they don't want to hear? How many times? You know, man has a bad habit of that. Man has a bad habit of shutting out the word of the Lord. Man has a bad habit of shutting the voice of God out of their life, that it can't speak and direct their life. You know, when Mormon was writing to Moroni, he was telling her the problems that they have. And I want you to look at it and see if you don't have the same problem today. And then I want to ask you to look and ask yourself. I'm not going to judge you. I want you to ask yourself if sometimes you've had the same problem. When a brother or a sister be admonishing you or be preaching the word of the gospel of Christ. He was telling me, he said, "Behold, I am laboring," and I'm reading on page 772 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to begin over with the fourth verse. He says, "Behold, I am laboring with them continually. And when I speak the word of God with sharpness, they tremble and anger against me." When he preaches the words of God with sharpness, they tremble and they anger against him. And when I use no sharpness, when he doesn't come right direct out, and he doesn't use any sharpness and just say, "Well, now listen, brother, you better change your ways," or "Sister, it's time for you to change your ways." But when he doesn't use any sharpness, they harden their hearts against it. "Wherefore I fear lest the Spirit of the Lord has ceased striving with them." Now if he speaks with sharpness of the gospel of Christ and say, "Now listen, this is what the Lord said," hear his conversation to the children of men, they get perturbed. But if you say, "Well, now you know, back in about the turn of the century or further back even, you know, about zero up to about 33 A.D., you know, there was a man that was a pretty strong man, you know, and he walked on the water and he raised the dead and he caused the blind to see and everything. And, you know, he was a good philosopher and he sort of philosophized life. And if we'd sort of listen to him, why, we'd probably find a closer way to walk and a better way to walk with one another and learn to forgive and learn to walk without stiff-neckedness and pride and jealousies and learn to be congenial one with another and you know they turn you off. They turn you off. You know, it's hard to find a different or even a better conversation than you find in red letters. It's hard to find a different and a better conversation. But as we hear from him, when that still small voice bore record that we have on two nations that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That when he bore record and when he spoke the conversation, he was speaking to you and I, and he didn't expect us to turn our head and hold another conversation or to shut off his conversation to us. He expected us to listen. He expected us to give heed to his voice. He expected us to realize that he has come for one specific purpose, and that was to save our soul. And that through his atonement, that very love that our brother talked about last night, through that very atonement, through that love, you and I had a right to possess the kingdom of heaven. And he tells us in the 14th chapter of St. John, and our brother didn't get to it, he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." The very thing that that brother was saying, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." He that listens to the conversation of the Son of God and gives him time to visit to their ears and their hearts and listen and give heed to those things. He says, "Now, my beloved Son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently, for if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation." Remember what our brother told you there last night? He says that where Ezekiel was talking, it says, "Now listen here, the watchman better tell him. Because if the watchman doesn't tell them," he says, "the sins are upon them. But if the watchman tells them and they reject it, then that blood is not upon the watchman's shoulders. For if we cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation, for we have labor to perform while in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God." That's why we're here. And why we're here today, that there is a labor that must be performed. And that labor that must be performed in your life and in my life is that we must stop and take time to listen to the conversation of the Son of God to the children of men. We have to take that time. Reading on page 110 in the Book of Mormon, "I know that the words of truth," I want you to listen to this, because we just got through reading where if he spoke with sharpness, they turned him off and angered with him. If he talked to them gentle-like, they would still turn away and walk in the opposite direction. Listen to what he says, "I know that the words of truth are hard against uncleanliness." And that's the truth. The word of truth is hard against uncleanliness. "But the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken." I want you to take notice of that. That the righteous aren't afraid of the words of truth, and they're not shaken. The ones that have the problems with the truth and the ones that anger with the truth are those who have turned their back to the conversation of the Son of God to the children of men and have walked in an opposite direction. I want you to know that as my brother and as Brother Marvin read the other day some of the things that they brought out in the song that the young brother asked us to sing, I want you to know that's part of our problem today is that we live in a nation, though we yet have the freedom today to come and to worship or to sleep or whatever the case may be, yet we're living in a nation that is no longer listening to the conversation of Jesus Christ and is dwindling in unbelief. And the everlasting decree and promise to this nation that shall not stand if it shall turn away from the God of the nation, which is Jesus Christ. That's a voice that must be heard from the body of Christ unto this nation and unto the nations of the world, that if they dwindle in unbelief, they will fall, and great will be the fall thereof. In the last verse that was read, I'd like to express a particular point in the Star-Spangled Banner. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven rescue land. Isn't that the truth? This land has been rescued from the heaven. This land was rescued by the power of God. That the heaven rescued land, praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. That power that has made and preserved this nation was Jesus Christ. That's the power. That's the model that we must look to. That's the conversation from His lips that we must listen to know wherein that we must walk, to know how in that we should follow. You know, in the 6th chapter of Luke, I'd like to read a few verses. And of course, whenever we don't listen to that conversation, and I'm going to start in the 46th verse of the 6th chapter of Luke, but I want to go back just a little bit in the 6th chapter of Luke, and I want to tell you what happens. And I'm going to read it to you, and it's in red letters if you look it up in your Bible. I want to tell you what happens when a person or a group of people cuts off the conversation with God, that cuts out His words and no longer listens. He tells us there in the 39th verse, He says, "And He spake a parable unto them, can the blind leadeth the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" I want you to listen to that. Because when there's a people or a nation that turns their ear from the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's the blind leading the blind, and they will indeed fall into the ditch. They will fall into the ditch. But I want to go down now to the 46th verse. "And why ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Now, I'm not going to put a shoe on your foot, because each of us has to live in our own when we reach an age of accountability, and we're responsible for our own salvation. But as we walk in our everyday life, do we catch ourselves visiting and Lord, Lord, and not doing what He has commanded? Making up our mind that, well, we're going to call Him Lord, Lord, and we recognize He's the Lord. We recognize He's the Lord. But I'm just not sure that He understands my particular situation. There isn't a situation that will be born from the beginning of all time, henceforth, forever, that the Lord God does not understand. James tells us, our brother read up to a point in James there the other night, and he stopped. James tells us that a man can't say that he's tempted of God, because God isn't tempted, and neither tempt he any man, but that a man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust. That's when the tempter's power comes into being, when a man is drawn away in his own lust. It's not because God's trying to lead you over there, because God went to the greatest means in the world in His love. He sent His only begotten Son to lead us the other way, So he certainly wouldn't try to deceive you and pull you away from the very death of his Son unto life for the children of men. But a man is tempted when he's drawn away in his own lust. And when he has stopped his ears and refuses to listen to the conversation of Jesus Christ, refuses to hear the words that he is willing to teach that we might find the path wherein we must put our feet, of a God that does not change nor vary, not even a shadow of changing, the Book of Mormon says, and James says, not even a shadow of variance. For if we worship a God that doth change and doth vary, who of any authority can stand before you and preach? For if you teach one thing today, it will be different tomorrow. That's why he went to great lengths to verify that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he changes not, and be not carried about by false wind and doctrine, and by the sleights of men that lay in craftiness to deceive. Let me go further. Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. Now we got something else here. We unstopped our ears. We heard what he said. But now he says, doeth them. Now, isn't that an odd thing? Do you know that there's many people in the world today that can read in the third chapter of Matthew where Jesus says that you're going to baptize me, John the Baptist, for it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. And they'll turn around and say, you don't have to be baptized, brother. You don't have to do that. No, I don't believe that. No, that had nothing to do with that today. The only thing you got to do is just believe and you're okay. They haven't looked at the scriptures in James that tells you that the devil believes and trembles. And you know all the scriptures tell me that the devil isn't okay. He's got a problem. In fact, he has such a problem that he's already been cast down out of the place that you and I are trying to go. By the power of God and one third of the host of angels with him. So just believing is not sufficient. That if that gospel of Christ, and if you're not doers of the word, then you're in trouble. That's for sure. And I'm in trouble if I'm not a doer of the word. So if I come over and I tell Andrew, now listen here, Andrew, you see that rattlesnake right there? Now if you slap him in the face, he's going to bite you. And chances are you're going to get real sick and you might even die. But now you know he can hear what I told him. But how many times did the parents recognize the fact that the children don't listen? Oh, they listen, they hear what you say, but they don't obey. And you know, so oftentimes the children of God hear, but they don't obey. They walk in their own way. And they make excuses. We make excuses so oftentimes for the very walk that we're walking, why all the time we're turning loose just as quick as we can the rod of iron and wandering in the mist, and we're getting ready to fall into the chasm. But we'll appease and satisfy our hearts and our minds saying, oh, I'm okay, it's the other guy that's out of step. I don't care if the rest of the army started with their left foot. They should have started with the right. So oftentimes, we must stop and look and listen. And you know, as the world goes, the Church of Christ is a small body. It's a small body. But you know, it's going to have to be strong. It's going to have to be strong in the Spirit. That Church of Christ, though they're few in number, is going to have to be a people who have dedicated their life to the conversation of Jesus Christ and have prepared themselves to listen to the Word of God and be obedient to it. That, like we heard our sister testify this morning, and that I heard in a prayer this morning, that we would live that life, that we would have fellowship with God, and that we would touch those about us for that which is good. That's important. Believe it or not, I'm not going to turn to it, but over in 2 Corinthians, he tells you that it's important that we live the gospel, because he says if you and I hide the gospel, it's hid to those who are lost. In other words, if you and I, who hold the words and the conversation of Christ unto the children of men, if we hide it in our lives and we don't apply it, it's hid to those who are lost, because we're not glorifying God. Our light is out. And darkness is the absence of light. And if our light is going to glorify our Father which is in heaven, and that beam is going to shine to Him in His glory, it's because we have walked in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have listened with an intended ear to the conversation of Jesus Christ to the world, to the children of men, and not to all the conversations and all the ledgers and all the libraries with the shelves loaded with man's commentary on what God thinks. No. It's not on the commentary that was written by what God thinks of man, but it's the voice of God whispering to the children of men that tells them wherein that they must put their feet and where they must walk. Whosoever cometh unto me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show unto you to whom he is like. Now you know in the 13th chapter of the Book of Mormon, I'm not going to turn to it because I've got to get moving. When they went to Christ, they said, what kind of a man ought we to be? He said, even as I. That was Christ's answer. Even as I. And take notice that those who hear his sayings and doeth them, and hear his sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Who do you think you'll be like if you follow the commandments of Christ? Yes, the one that's talking here. Yes, we'll be like him if we're going to keep his sayings, if we're going to hear his voice. He is like a man which built his house and dig it deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. It was founded on Christ. It was founded on that conversation given to the children of men to save our souls. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately. Oh no, it didn't take long, did it? He says, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. I want you to take notice. It didn't take long for that to fall. When somebody wasn't walking in the Lord, did it? You know, those who had the gospel of Christ and endeavored to listen to it, and I'm looking at a lot of them, to me, that today, if I was to go out across the face of the earth, I'm probably looking at some of the best people that are here, because a lot of them are important to them as killing and stealing and lying and plundering and taking away from other people. Yes? But I'm looking at a people just like the guy I see when I look in the mirror. A fella that has to listen to that voice that he was talking, and one of them was that we have to endure to the end. Does that mean it's all peaches and cream? Or does that mean there's going to be a work involved? That it's an everyday work. And that even you and I, if we don't want to shut and listen and shut out the world and listen to the voice of Christ, if we want to begin to shut out his conversation, how quick does it take us to do things we have no business doing and know it? I brought something into this place tonight other than just a dry bucket. I got a rock. That rock is what he says that man's going to build on. Come here, come in. I want you to take that rock and just squeeze it and break it all over. Can you? You can't break that? Okay, let me see that. Try this one here, over the bucket. What's the pieces there that's coming off? You didn't get that off the rock, did you? Look at that. Immediately, when they build upon a sandy foundation, does it fall? Immediately. Because it has no saving power. The saving power comes through the gospel of Christ, the word of God, as he teaches unto the children of men. So we're going to build a house. I got a carpenter here. I'm going to have him build me a house. You see this piece of wood? I'm going to give him a nail. I want him to build my house. He's a good carpenter. He ought to be able to build it with a piece of wood and a nail, hadn't he? You reckon you could put a roof on it for me, too? Not much, is there? Is it? How often do we try to build the house of God and His statute by using a piece or a portion of what He's given unto the children of men? How often? How often does the world say, well, that is a nail? We can't argue with that. And the world says, well, that's a hunk of wood. We can't argue with that. But try building a house with it. We can't argue with that. Because it's not enough. It takes each part of the conversation that God has delivered unto the children of men to make the fullness of the gospel of Christ unto salvation. Not a portion, not a part. And don't forget that the Book of Mormon tells us that sin is not happiness. And you know, there's a lot of people, and there might be young people, think, oh boy, it's a lot of fun. Boy, has there been a lot of fun over the generations in time turned into tragedies because it wasn't founded on the rock. It's when it's founded on the rock that the fun turns to an everlasting joy and the abundance of life that comes through the Spirit of the Almighty God unto the children of men who will take the time to listen to his conversation. I'm going to hurry. I don't want my little buddy to get hungry. I'd like to turn in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to turn over to the 10th chapter of the third book of Nephi. I want to read a couple scriptures there. Oh, the 30th verse. Therefore, give heed to my words. He's not telling you, is he, John? He's not telling you for you to give heed to my words, is he? No. This is Christ talking. Did you come to hear the conversation of Christ today? Did you? This is Christ talking. He says, therefore give heed to my words. He wants to visit with you and I. He wants to talk to you. You bet. Write the things which I have told you. And according to the times and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. Hey, take care of this conversation because it's for the children of men. Unto their salvation. And whosoever will hearken unto my words and repenteth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. Now he didn't come along, I want you to take notice, and he didn't say, well, now whosoever shall hearken under the words of Brother Hubert as he interprets my understanding concerning it in a volume of the book this long. You know, there's something that I've found about the gospel of Christ. There's something that I've found as I read the words of Christ as he was speaking. You know, he must have had a far greater education than any of us in this room. I'm sure he could have used words this long in a vocabulary. Words that you and I couldn't even understand. But do you know he used little old common, simple, short words and little parables so even the simple could know and understand what he was proclaiming unto the children of men. He didn't go and hold a conversation with my brother Andrew and talk to him in Russian, which he knew nothing about. If God is willing to speak to the ears of the children of men, he'll speak in plainness that we can hear if we want to hear, if we want to listen. There's where a whole lot of the key to the door of understanding comes in, is if we want to listen, whether it violates the standard that we want to set in our own life and the things that we want to do. Because so oftentimes, there's a lot of frills right across the street, and we think that we ought to be part of them. And we have no business in them whatsoever. And though those frills are there, and they're easy to partake because the whole world has them all the time, though they're there, as time goes along, we find that those thrills lead us in a place of sadness and heartache and tribulation and problems such as we would have never known if we hadn't gone after them. 11th chapter, first verse. And it comes to pass that when Jesus, I want you to take notice who's talking here. And it comes to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures. Oh boy, wouldn't that be a treat? Wouldn't that be a treat to not have to listen to an old chubby looking fella like me? And sit and hear Jesus expound all the scriptures. Oh, he can expound them through my brother and myself and my sister. But if he's going to expound them through us, it's because we have yielded to the Comforter, even the Holy Ghost, that it bears record of those things that are true. Or the things in which we would expound might not be the things that Jesus would teach, nor how he would teach them. Now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one which they had written, he commanded them that they should teach the things which he had expounded unto them. How beautifully, how direct and open that is. This is Christ speaking. That he expounded the scriptures, and then he told them, you teach those things, Mike, just like I expounded them. In other words, he was capable of bringing them out so a person could understand. Do you know that through his power, young people and old, and through the gift and the power of God, he gave even the birds the song. He made the ripples in a trout stream. He beautifully laced the petals in a flower. And sent its fragrance that you might be able to enjoy not only the beauty but of the fragrance in which it would produce. And as well did that spirit pervade and penetrate that unknown being that thinks inside of me and you and that soul and took from it those things that are not right, holy and just, and cleansed them and made them whole, and set a desire in that heart to follow after him, set a desire in that heart to hear his words and to be obedient unto them. How beautiful it is to know that you know. So oftentimes, and I've seen the mothers here, and I know the fathers do the same thing. You tell them, don't do that. They go on about their business and go back to, don't do that. They go about their business and the mother goes back again and says, now don't do that. Now if you do that again, now I'm going to spank your hand. How often has God spoke to us and told us time after time after time after time the exact same message, trying to warn us? How often has he tried to warn us? How often do we pick up the scriptures and he says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all my words shall be established? How many times has he gone over the same story for each one of us? Hoping that one time when he told that story that we would be ready to listen and be ready to give heed and not be ready to go ahead and hold a conversation of our own. Because so often times that's just exactly what we do. We hold a conversation of our own rather than listening to the voice and the conversation of God. Brothers and sisters, the world as a whole, look if you please. The world as a whole stands on a changing and a moving God whose foundation is of the sand and shall crumble and fall, and great shall be the fall thereof. But the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, if we will listen to the voice of Christ, we will hear the clear message of the walk unto eternal life with him and his Father. We'll listen to the message that comes clear and sweet and direct, that verifies to the souls of the children of men that indeed God not only has a way, but he was willing to teach it, willing to verify it, willing to cause it to be written. How many times have you gone and talked to somebody and they'll say, now listen, I want to tell you something, but don't you carry this to us. Don't you tell nobody else. And no, don't write it down. No, don't write it down. No, I don't want that in writing. I'll tell you, but I don't want it in writing. You know that's opposite of God. Do you know that the things that he taught, that he didn't want to keep secret, he wanted everyone to hear? And did you know that he went to great means to put it in writing? He went to great means to put it in writing so that you'd have a chance to go back and read it and know. That was the purpose of it. He went to great means to do so. And from the very beginning, even down to our time, on every nation that we have record of, God has caused people to write so that we would know his dealings and working with the children of men and know that we can trust him and believe in him. And know as well that all over the generations of time, right down to this time, Dan, he has the power to lift you up by the bootstraps and set your feet in the path into salvation. If we're ready to listen to the conversation of God as he whispers over the generations of time, the people who will give him audience, and time to listen. On page 635 in the Book of Mormon, the 43rd verse, therefore go forth unto this people and declare the words which I have spoken unto the ends of the earth. That's how important they are. That's how important they are. That we go forth and declare the word. That we go forth and declare the foundation wherein man must stand. That we go forth and declare unto the children of men that God has talked to us. and has caused it to be written that we can renew our thoughts and our covenants and our understanding of those things and go back and again visit with the Lord and look and read and listen and hear His voice speaking over the generations of time. And He's not only going to speak to us here in the sixth day of the 15th, in the sixth month of the 15th day of 1985, but as long as this old world is here, God's voice shall whisper to the hearts and the souls of the children of men who will give Him audience and listen and will heed and obey. And you know, as He talked, as our brother tried to bring out from one thing and another the other night, as he talked, you know, he brings out this much that when there were miracles and all these things ceased, it was because of the unbelief of the children of men. It was because of the unbelief of the children of men. Because they had caused, for some reason, they had turned down the volume of the voice of Christ. And His voice, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, wasn't getting in. They had turned down the volume of Christ that said, "Follow thou me and do the things which ye have seen me do." And to be even as I am. For this reason has He caused those things to be written. For this reason, He today will talk to us. If He doesn't stand before you and talk to you, as I'm standing before you now to talk to you, He'll talk to you through the Scriptures that He caused to be written to edify His working with the children of men. And if He talks to you through the Scriptures, and if you listen, you'll find your feet on the path, and you'll find your hand on the rod of iron that leads to the true life. That's a challenge. That's for each of us. You, me. That's a challenge, believe it or not, for the Church of Christ. It's a challenge for all people to not get so busy in our life that we don't have time to stop and hear the Word of the Lord. That we don't get so busy in our life that we don't have time to stop and endeavor to lift the Word of the Lord. Remember, He tells us that we're to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. My prayer is today, and I'm going to quit. I'm like my young brother back there. When I first started preaching the gospel of Christ, I had a hard time getting 10 minutes. But the farther I go along and the more beauties I see in the gospel of Christ, I find there's not a quitting place. To be able to proclaim the joy that comes in the lives of the children of men that will listen to that conversation of God to the hearts. There isn't a stopping place of such. And the beautiful part about it, it's all true. It's all true. My prayer is that our ears will be tuned in harmony to the voice of God. And we'll be ready to lay hold to the Word and stand. And to allow our voice to speak out to a nation that's dwindling in unbelief and will fall because they're not hearing. They're not hearing the conversation of God. May God bless us to that end. that we will not only hear that conversation, but apply it to our life and endure to the end.